We thought we were sharing a little information in exchange for free services, but it's turned into so much more than that.
We just live our lives through the internet, and we don't realize that every single one of those actions is a data point that's all being masked together.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Mark Zuckerberg is testifying in front of Congress today about how Facebook protects information about its users. But the current Facebook scandal is really a story about data and a data economy that's out of control and might be at a tipping point. Over the rest of the week, we're going to look at how we got here and how trends in privacy, advertising, policy, and politics led to global upheaval in 2016 and the Facebook crisis today. We'll start with privacy. Mark Sermon is the executive director of the Mozilla Foundation, which just released its annual Internet Health Report, in which privacy and data feature quite heavily. I asked him how sharing personal information in exchange for free products got so out of control.
It's sort of like the Fukushima nuclear disaster, if you step back at that level. It's like the data equivalent of Fukushima. And when you think about something like Fukushima or Cambridge Analytica, it's a big hot point and we take notice. Everybody notices that this is going on. But like if you take a nuclear disaster, it isn't just about that hot point. It's about a bigger question of how we produce energy and just the whole economy. I think we know we're making data every day, maybe. We probably don't think about it much, but we definitely don't step back to look at that bigger picture of the data-driven advertising economy.
Yeah, and you've been looking at this for a while. Can you talk to me about how we got to this point where people just started readily giving up information in exchange for a product?
Yeah, there's a good side of data, right? It's not like data is a wonderful thing. It allows us to build services that are more responsive. So, I know what our preferences are, what content we want to see, and we know who our friends are. There's data about who our relationships are. So we've built an internet that's better for us because, we're sharing our data to make the services better. But at the same time, that's been driven by building a way to fund the internet, which has been advertising and using data in ways that increasingly we don't know. Well, I guess we notice sometimes when we've been looking at a particular couch on a website, and then on Facebook, all of a sudden, that same couch appears or other couches appear. So we sort of notice something's going on a little bit, but what's going on in the background, I think we're not paying attention to. And so that's sort of gotten us to this level. And, the more data you collect, the better that targeting is. And so it's just gotten to the point where we just collect data about absolutely everything.
Do you think that this is a moment partly where the tech, the extreme tracking, the extremely accurate tracking, the cookies, do you think the tech is just so far past what consumers understand?
Yeah, even specialists are being surprised about what's going on. So we just live our lives through the internet. We spend every day doing our business, connecting with our loved ones, interacting with government online. And we don't realize that every single one of those actions is a data point that's all being masked together. And then, the other thing that really people are not aware of is how much of the data is aggregated and put together into a very specific profile of us.
And you talk about the slippery slope, this idea that it was a snowball that got out of control. But do you think there's any going back? Certainly the report looks at the U.S. compared to other parts of the world where privacy is taken much more seriously. And maybe consumers have a little more control over their data. Do you think there's any, pushing that snowball back up the hill?
I don't want to overuse a metaphor, but, we got the snowball, let's build a snowman.
Mm-hmm.
You can't push it back up a hill, but I think we can imagine a different path forward. And, one of the things that people can do, and we've been asking people to do, especially over the last couple of weeks, is talk to the companies that are making this stuff because you are their customers. And ultimately, if enough people say like, hey, I want to know more about how my data is being used, build that knowledge, that transparency into the product. So, there are many places in history where industry's gone too far and citizens have stepped up and said, hey, I like your product, but I want it the way you make it or the way it treats me to be different. I mean, if you think about Nike today versus Nike 20 years ago, people like their Nikes, but they said, I don't like your labor practices, and they changed them. But, we definitely need some balance between the environment this data is created, the services, what citizens want, and some role for government.
And then let's talk about that environment a little bit, because the Internet Health Report focuses on decentralization and the idea of specific companies amassing so much power and that being a threat to the open internet. Can you talk about how much of a role that plays in this conversation?
There's a lot of power in a tiny number of hands. You've got five U.S. companies and a few in China that really control most of the things we use on the internet today. And that also means most of the advertising and most of the data. And so there's a couple of things that are suboptimal, to say the least, and sometimes dangerous about that. One is, you know, makes them real honeypots, places you can go and potentially grab a lot of data if you're able to do it by smartly exploiting the services that are offered. Or, you know, you can go and take stuff and break in. But the bigger piece is, if we think about consumer choice, and this really is a critical thing that mostly we're not thinking about, you know, can I have a service that meets my needs, that, you know, collects less data, that respects my privacy, that feels safer? Well, you know, we can ask companies for that. It's harder to imagine that they say yes, we still should pressure them, when there isn't real competition. And you don't have real competition. You don't have real competition in social networks. You don't have real competition in search. You don't really have that much competition in online shopping. You know, Facebook and Google and Amazon have those markets locked up. And so we do need to be looking at, you know, whether there's too much power and not enough possibility for competition as another part of the thing we're asking about here.
Mark Sermon is the executive director of the Mozilla Foundation, a nonprofit internet advocacy organization. Tomorrow on the show, we'll look at advertising technology and the companies that pioneered the ad targeting that brought us here today. If you are into reading as well as listening, I'm also writing about the data economy on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM. Here's an investment opportunity with a guaranteed return. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than just help keep the show on the air. You actually help us grow and get better. It is a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and to make it possible for us to tell the stories of modern life through our digital economy. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thanks.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.